What's happening, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night, January 20th, 2026. A rare episode of the Boiler Breakdown in which a Purdue game is happening in the same night because the Boilermakers don't tip off till 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time for people like Aaron. And, yeah, you know, that's part of this Big Ten West expansion, which – Big Ten's like, we don't care about anything except football, so you'll figure out the rest. But happy to be here. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch in the house. Fellas, how we doing?
Okay. We're doing okay.
You know what? We should have done this as late night.
Yeah.
I just thought of that. Like, this was, we just missed an opportunity.
Sorry, my life.
Yeah, it's I used to do a podcast kind of late night after. Well, we'd usually go on like at 10:30. Did that for about 2 years. It was kind of rough at times getting done around midnight. But
I've done the Boiler Breakdown after dark for one night. I didn't think about that.
If we are for sure to win, it would not be fun to stay up late that late and talk about a loss. But yeah, no, we could have maybe. Maybe we'll have another chance down the road somewhere when, I mean, these Western teams aren't going anywhere anytime soon. And you never know, NCAA tournament games, you can get a late draw once in a while. So maybe we'll have another chance.
We missed an opportunity. Let's put that in, pin that one for a later episode.
That checks out. That checks out, doesn't it? But yeah, no, I'm right there with you, Webby. I'm doing okay is a good way to put it. I debriefed myself from social media today and logged out of everything that I didn't have to be logged in the world of social media for work purposes. There's a few apps I do have to be on there for work purposes, but yeah, it was kind of nice just getting away from social media for a day, and it might extend to a couple days. But it also didn't help though, like, I'm working, and I like to listen to a lot of different sports talk shows, especially right now, Denver sports talk shows, because my Broncos are still in the playoffs, at least for another week. And two programs I listen to, I had it on YouTube because I like how the audio comes in through YouTube, so it's on my TV, even though I'm not watching it. Two different co-hosts had Indiana football stuff on today, out in Colorado. Like, I just can't. Yeah. I can't escape it.
Can't escape it, yeah.
Nope.
Can't escape
it. Nope. But I guess
I would say just gotta sit in it.
Yeah, gotta sit in it. Yeah, and I guess that leads me into last week. It was just you and I on the pod. Aaron couldn't join us last week. And we talked a little bit about Mike Bobinski's roundtable with the media, but we didn't get too deep into the weeds because we wanted Aaron on to get deep into the weeds. So Aaron, the floor is yours, my friend.
Oh man, where to start after last night? That conversation was very, very telling in regards to money, in regards to
or lack thereof.
No, it's there. We just don't use it. I mean, this straight reminds me of Jerry Reinsdorf. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh God!
If this doesn't reek of MLB, like this. This does with this moving NIL from donors to actually corporate dollars, which I thought to myself, like, who are these corporate sponsors outside of what we see on game day, both for basketball and for football? And it sounds like they're trying to squeeze every penny out of basketball based on what Bobinski's saying and finding out opportunities for volleyball to play in Mackey to get concessions and additional revenue. But my God, we're going to see a dip in football if something don't change. And it reminds me when we were all in school with hope. It really does at this point in regards to how long can you keep going till you have to make a change? Not that you want to. In the case of Danny, I don't think any of us looking back would say that was probably the right move.
Probably should have got another year.
Yeah.
But we did it because of fan dollars. I mean, there was the lack of fan support. And I think that gets turned up a couple clicks after last night and winning with a roster that pretty similar to what ours looks like in regards to what recruits look like on paper, as we know, we can't, you can't win the off season. You can win the off season, I guess, all you want here, but it don't matter if you can't win in September and October, November. It's telling to me that the lack, I think, of decisions, especially when he went in the Katie Gerald and how far the women's programs fall, and saying like, oh, well, she didn't have the funds because we didn't have the NIL to do this, but now she does. And this is still what we see, you know, the product on the court. I don't see in him also saying like he doesn't want to go into an area where he's firing another coach in 2 years. Not that we all think your Barry's going to get fired in 2 years, but I think once you're done paying the Waller's buyout at the end of 27, things still haven't changed and it gets up in another click that they go back to the college football playoffs, you know, in Southern Indiana here for a third straight year. I think that's going to be telling. The roster will be much different down there, but now we've become third fiddle in a school that, in a state that we were with the second fiddle not too long ago in football, definitely the first fiddle in basketball. But are we just putting all our eggs in one basket in regards to basketball? Because the eyes aren't there like it is with football. And I know that you both talked about last week, McAfee and the media covering the national title run a couple of years ago. It's not the same. It's not, because football dominates all headlines. And, you know, NFL draft coverage was more important than, you know, this run by Purdue.
I think, too, not to cut you off there, but I think, too, like the calendar lends itself more to football. You think about, like, you know, I remember, like, people saying, you know, like, I saw some pretty fancy, and they go, hey, we don't remember seeing any, like, hype of this for basketball. It's like, you know, when you just clinch a spot in the championship in basketball, you're playing 2 days later. Like, there's a day in between to, like, bask in it. Whereas football, you've got, I mean, a week plus.
You do have the week before the Final Four, though, and I still feel like it wasn't, like, the coverage of the Rose Bowl and the Peach Bowl. And maybe it's I talked about this with one of our good friends on one of my other podcasts there. Maybe it's because Purdue's been good for the past decade, and everybody's like, okay, they finally broke through. Indiana football has been the doormat of SBS, so it's just kind of – it was just that much more incredible of what they were doing. I don't know.
I think the one thing that I have very, very high concern out of that interview, outside the Katie Gerald situation, is – what he said about developing players and moving them forward, and they're reluctant to give multi-year deals until this year for an NIL. What makes me reluctant is, like, this is screams like the poor franchises of baseball. And you see where that is. And the disparity now within the MLB that it's caused, this might be on a much, much grander scale, because the private equity isn't coming. He did say that deal is off the table. Right. I'm guessing Michigan,
which he was in favor of. He was in favor of that
because it was a 9-figure deal.
Was.
Yes,
he was in favor. Yes, he wanted that to happen.
He wanted that to happen. Michigan was probably the member that didn't want it to happen. They didn't feel like losing that brand was big. So Purdue's
Michigan,
not going to
USC.
Get,
I think were the two that.
I think you're right about the USC. Yeah. It would have been 9 figures directly injected into the program.
Yep.
And he talked about in regards to there's still the fiscal responsibility of the athletic department. So we're not going to borrow more in regards to what we can't create. That's why I said it screams baseball. Yeah. And without a salary cap, without a structured fee from Congress at this point, this is going to be like the Dodgers. And I'm not going to lie, we're probably going to be the Chicago White Sox of, you know, college sports besides basketball and volleyball.
Well, one of my big takeaways that frustrated me was he said, we have big donors, but they haven't donated yet. Why would you even put that out there? Why would you even put that out there? Because that makes you look really bad. And it makes everybody question, like, why are they not donating and donating to? What do we have to do to get them to donate, type of thing? That was one of my big takeaways.
because I don't think they want to go into the, he wants to be more self-funded on these corporate dollars and corporate endorsements. God. And that's where it was going when I was listening to this. Cause I was just like, dog, this ain't it.
Say it work for me, dog.
No,
that's no for me. No for me, dog.
What just drives me nuts. It's just the, it's actually like, Tanner, you might even heard it at the bucket game. There was a guy behind us and he was talking about how, I think we went to school around the same time, just by like, just kind of the way we just by our conversation. I didn't know the kid, but, or the guy, we're in our 30s now. But he's saying something Morgan Burke spoke to one of his classes and like he was like promoting how like Purdue was a self-funded athletic department. And he's like, who cares? Like, this is where we are. Like it's, I mean, yeah, I guess kudos. Like that is like impressive because you hear about I think it's like UCLA is like, I mean, just an absurd amount of debt, which, so like obviously I don't want to be that, but also like if you're in the black, but you're putting out a team that's won 7 games in 3 years, like, I mean, congrats on your accounting.
You're not cool. The school's the sport's not cool for the school, you know?
Yeah. And like, this is what, like, it reminds me too of like back when, before they hired Babinski, I think it was even Daniels that said, and thankfully Babinski came in and kind of changed Daniels's tune and the board as well. But it was like, just the whole thing of like, it just, and obviously it's a much bigger issue than as simple as I'm explaining, because obviously there's a lot more involved, but like what athletics does to a school, like in terms of enrollment, brand is massive. When you look at like, I mean, go back to, you know, over 10 years ago, Butler, like Butler's enrollment or applications skyrocketed after their back-to-back Final Four runs. And there's been like, I know like Bama was like, I know my dad was talking about it over the weekend with some families, like the, like what happened to Bama when Saban came in, like, and I think we saw it too with Purdue with basketball, like,
oh, that, absolutely. Like,
there are a lot of smart kids who love sports and want to go to a school that doesn't suck ass.
Yeah. They want to have fun in their four years and have a good college sports experience.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. Obviously like we're probably in the, we're special, you know, cases where like we were going to Purdue no matter what, like whether they were just coming off an 0-12 season or what, like, you know, one of the only schools we I know, like for Tanner, you and I applied to. I don't know about you, Aaron.
Yep. One of two for me.
Yeah. I was one of two for mine too.
Never finished my third. I got 9 steps in. Purdue accepted me. I'm like, I don't want to write my essay.
And especially like, I'm hearing like more and more of like, especially like Big Ten's like schools are being much more selective.
Yeah.
Because obviously like kids are wanting to come again, like sports matters. So it's like, if a kid has an option between, you know, Purdue, Ohio State, Indiana, you know, Wisconsin, like, and they're a huge football fan, I guarantee, I know who's going to finish at the bottom of that list. And like, they're going to a major that it's all like, you know, comparable, obviously schools matter. But like, if it's like, you know, the schools are pretty close and you have a chance to be like, oh, I want to go watch, you know, cheer for a school that's going to compete for a national title, like you're picking Ohio State or Indiana right now. And it's just like, I mean, I go back to like the story of like how Neil Armstrong found Purdue is because he saw Purdue beat Ohio State in football and was like, oh, like, cause I think he wanted to go to MIT for engineering. And is like, he had a family that says you should look at, you know, Purdue's got an engineering degree. And he had just seen Purdue beat Ohio State. He's like, oh, they just beat the mighty Buckeyes. And lo and behold, he's the poster child.
Yeah. Look what he's done. For academics, you know,
it's like, it just blows my mind sometimes.
There's a couple, I want to get a couple points because I know we've hit on one. I'm just going to breeze back over it. But also, it's not only those, the admissions go up, but then your alumni base, where you're buying season ticket packages, you're going back, you're going to games. Those are going to be unfilled by people. And then you're then selling to the secondary market. Or then that's what Babinski talked about, was that secondary market. Like, oh, well, we don't want to price ourselves out. Last we checked, we're not going to be able to expand Mackey. So you're capped in regards to what you can put there in regards to that value. The only way you're going to increase more revenue off basketball is you're going to have to get the girls' program out of the dumpster and start filling Mackey to get that revenue.
We're just straight up just charge more and hope people still buy tickets. Like, which if the product on the court is what it is, people are still going to buy tickets.
Yeah,
correct. You have that demand. You're going to have the sellout right there. But then you're asking at what point is the value. So 100%. Then it goes back to football. Season tickets raise. I don't know what it would raise to say you all say no, but there's got to be a number in mind where you're going to be like, nah, I don't. I would just watch this on TV.
Sure. There's a number, but like, you know, I know friends who have Notre Dame season tickets and stuff. It produce a fraction of that, like even for good seats. So, I mean, they got a ways to go till they.
Let me add on to that one though. Notre Dame is on a network broadcast that is free to anyone, any fan, any person. They can just watch it over the air. It is free. What we have to do to jump through hoops because of Kevin Warren's stupid freaking Big Ten media deal between
Peacock, down, baby.
between Peacock, Big Ten, Big Ten Plus, CBS, CBS Sports. The guys have literally just made money, but the fan experience and expense that like us outside of, especially if you cut the cord and a younger generation is literally just giving the middle finger to that. And we're now paying $200, I think, when shout out to Hammer and Rails did it. I think it was $200 or $280. I can't remember the actual figure this year, what it costs to watch Purdue basketball. And that's just to support Purdue basketball, not football, women's basketball, not baseball either. So
it's that way for all sports. I mean, like if you want to watch your pro football team every week, you're gonna have to pay for Sunday ticket.
Not if you live in market.
Okay. Yes. Not if you live in market. I was trying to correct myself.
Yes,
I do. And I pay for it because I like to watch the Red Zone. I NFL is my favorite, so I don't care. But yeah, I know where you're going with that, Aaron. You're right. You're not wrong at all.
So then at what point with the rising cost, and I'm not going into the whole cost of living, but then what are we going to be for fans? Are you going to just go to a game and we're going to become what IU was in 2021 where you only have a few people showing up and it's just showing up for a tailgate because you know the product on the field is going to be not competitive and bad, especially since we won a Power 4 road game since 2023. It is.
And I go back to like when we were students, like talking to people. I lived in the dorm. I lived in the dorm freshman, sophomore year, which was the last 2 years, I hope. So like we weren't at the Hazel level yet. But I remember talking to people like in, you know, class during Hazel's first, second year. It's like, oh, you going to the game? I'm like, no, I'm tailgating. But like, why would I go to the game? It's like, why would I waste my time watching that? And then like, I know we've talked about it before, but like that kind of also just like that, if you, that kind of follows you, unless you're just an absolute diehard, you know, fan, like, you know, to someone, you know, do they, you know, they move away? Do they try and come back for homecoming? Probably, maybe not. Like, depending on like who they, you know, does their spouse also go here? Like, that's one thing. But like, if you marry us, you marry someone from a different school, like, you know, if you don't have any ties to the school outside of just like, you just went there, like, and you don't, and you live in Nevada, like, are you really going to try and you didn't enjoy like your sporting experience? Are you going to really try and make it, or are you going to try and go when they're out west now? Like,
don't do that. That's going to be a loss. Football, at least football.
That's what sucks. It's like, that's why I'm so glad for like the students who are experiencing basketball now, because it's just like that can create fans for life.
It can, but is that the only thing they're going to hang their hat on? I mean, we're in a Big Ten institution. We saw something last night we never thought in our lives, all three of us, would never, ever, ever happen. We thought our football program would be the one to be in a playoff game, given what we saw growing up. But the momentum never was seized and capitalized in regards to leadership. Mm-hmm. Leadership has failed in regards to whatever he can say and Babinski. Do I want your job? No. Do I want to play armchair quarterback? Absolutely. Right now. So it is frustrating to see, because I don't care about Cignetti wasn't on your radar. You didn't have a succession plan for Braum, flat out.
Even though they said they did, but actions speak a whole hell of a lot louder than words. Like,
if you had a succession plan, you wouldn't have fired him after 2 years.
I wish I knew who else was interviewed. We'll never find that out. I don't think. I wish I knew who else was interviewed or looked at.
Troy Callahan, we know it.
I don't know about that. I mean, he might have been looked at. I don't know if he got interviewed. I don't know. He might have. I don't know.
It just the fact that, like, it just felt like, you know, I remember like the offseason before that, Brahms last year, like there was a whole, like, he was down in Louisville or something. Mm-hmm. And there was that whole like interview snippet where he, like, they asked him, like, you coming back, essentially in so many words, like, you ever coming back? And he was just like, Instead of like, yeah, probably at some point. Yeah, like, and exactly. It was just like, it's just embarrassing. And like, it just felt like once it happened, like, just felt like he's got caught flat footed. And like, it was like, oh, I didn't think it was gonna be happening this year. Maybe like, you know, maybe, you know, next year
I think they thought it was gonna be the next year, because if you guys remember, like, Satterfield wasn't gonna get fired by Louisville.
No, he had kind of saved his job.
He left saved his job because the fans hated him, and Cincinnati opened up with Fickell leaving.
Yeah.
So it was a domino effect.
Yeah, and I get the it's obviously like, especially now, it's very easy to say hindsight 2020. Like, why didn't we look at Cignetti? Like, and people, someone pointed out, like, at, coming after 2022, like, he had just came off like an 8-5 year at JMU. And I can see how that's maybe not like, you can see why that's not like screams P4 successful head coach. It's like, you know, it's like, just because, just, you know, his age, and, you know, yes, next year is when he had a really, really good year. Obviously, he had success before, but it was like, I could have seen, you know, I totally understand why they went the route they did. You know, young up and coming coordinator, just had one of the best defenses in the country. Like, it all made sense. It made sense in the time. Yep. It was just, the execution was horrendous.
Yeah. Can I add to that point when he talked about that in the round table was, well, I didn't see any hope for this. I'm like, you didn't provide him any support. You didn't provide any counsel and guidance in regards to who he should hire in his staff. And he went out and hired his peers. And you, his
buddies, yeah.
You literally let that happen. And he is going to be successful again. It's bound to happen. And you did not provide, as leadership, guardrails and curtails to help him become that, and say, like, sure, you can hire some of your, but they have to be lower level. You need guys that have called plays before, that have been in these situations, that when it comes to crunch time, they have the experience and repetition to understand that. Just like how Wink Martindale, I keep going back to this. The only reason Michigan beat USC, was it last year? I think it was last year or this year. No, last year. Wink Martindale literally bailed out Sherrone Moore. And that was the only reason they won. Walters had none of that. Nope. And now you bring back the worst coordinator, and you flat out say, well, that was Barry's decision.
He interviewed 7 people, according to Mike. He interviewed 7 people.
And one of those interviews could have been us, for all I care.
Are you admitting something, Lynch? I mean, is this breaking news here? I mean,
my defense on the video game is pretty damn good. I will say that. So I run a pretty good defense. I run a pretty good 4-2-5.
No, I'm not. But he doesn't need to reveal that. But to go back and make the decision that you did, and like, well, I know him, like, and say it's all on Barry, you need to take some ownership in regards to yourself in the decisions you and Grimes made, because you have a fan base that the clicks are going to get turned up on, especially if Odom goes 4-8 this year. And it's not fair to him, unfortunately. Correct. But part of it is his fault because of some of the decisions he made. It's unfortunate that we're in this circumstance, and not even national title run is going to help. Like, I think from our basketball team, to even say, like, does it alleviate? And they'll, because it's hell, they have 5. Sorry, they have 5 and now have something that I've never seen ever. I'd thought be pretty happy.
Yeah, I think majority of the fan base still be pretty happy. I don't care if they have 5 or not. That those things are dusty and their program looks like trash right now.
It does. Against Michigan, absolutely.
But I think one thing people don't talk about enough, I know B-Down did, of Boiled Sports. So I got to give him a shout-out. Mike Berghoff leaving the board was a big blow because he was really instrumental in the whole Brom era. Getting things going, making Purdue pay a little more than they normally would, things like that. And I don't know what happened behind the scenes, why he stepped down, but it seems like after he did, things haven't quite been the same.
Well, then was it Tim House goes to Michigan State, and all of a sudden they announce this like $4 billion initiative? Like, that's where it really comes in, is like, you know, the AD can do so much. And like, that goes back to, like I said, when, you know, back when we were in school and Daniel was like, oh, we don't want to get into an arms race with Ohio State. It's like, then what the hell are we doing? Like, especially nowadays, like, because there is now a, I remember a couple years ago, I remember I was thinking about this earlier. It's like a couple years ago, I was thinking like when, you know, the Big Ten was expanding and there was this talk of like, hey, they're probably going to eventually just do a super league of, you know, the top 40 teams. And I was like, you know, I think Purdue has a shot to make it because we just made the Big Ten title game and all that's like, no chance in hell we're making it now. Like,
bottom 40. Like,
yeah. And it's just like, if that's the case, man, it's game over.
I do like what Barry's done in this offseason, even though you can't win the offseason, or it doesn't matter if you do, you gotta, but you know, this isn't gonna be an overnight fix. It's, and like we said, it's gonna have to be in chunks and blocks and steps. And hopefully they take the right step this season.
So. What happened down south was the biggest outlier in college football history.
Yeah, nobody's going to replicate that model. People are going to try. And we might see programs do it eventually, but it's going to take steps. Nobody's going to do it within 2 years. Like it was, and I mean, credit to them for pulling it off. Yeah. They beat good teams this year down the stretch. Great coaching job, Heisman quarterback, all that stuff. But Purdue can't worry about, they got to worry about what's within their doors, worry about themselves. If they start worrying about other programs, forget about it.
And that's like what I said, the people are like, this should light a fire under. It's like, I get that. But again, if Babinski and company are worried about what's going on outside of, you know, West Lafayette, like they're cooked. Like they're cooked.
I'm sure they're pissed like we are. It's not fun to see. Yeah. It's not fun to hear about. It's not fun to be in your own state. The team you're recruiting against, the team you have to play every year. It's an uphill battle to beat them now.
Your two rivals have made back to back national championships.
Exactly.
And actually won. And that high school coaches are going to tell their kids to go to as well.
Yeah. But
I was texting my dad last night. I was like, there's a chance Purdue doesn't sniff a good high school recruit from the state, like moving forward. Like, you know, I mean, like, obviously, we'll get a few. But it's just like, I mean, it's like we're kind of, we saw with Painter, like kind of in that, you know.
Unless Indiana broadens their recruiting like Notre Dame has.
Possible, yeah.
National.
But the, then like, they're going to start selecting in regards to like
getting
the top talent in regards to. And it's going to come down to, the, like I stated earlier, we're a third fiddle now for football.
Yeah.
It's, I'm just concerned that what we see in MLB is going to play out in college sports, and especially might play out before our very eyes, especially now that teams are getting multi-year deals and we finally just gave our first, it sounds like, this offseason. And, you know, great take. I'm happy for these kids, but and they have representation and that they're getting paid what they're getting paid. But the problem is they're making that kind of money and they're not performing. I mean, there's going to be an irate fan base. And the one thing I think that sits with me is still Carson Beck's comments on Saturday in regards to I haven't went to school for 2 years.
That was taken out of context. He said he graduated. He had been going to school. And I know there was like, because I saw someone, I think it was from Miami, says like, they like guys who are like either leaving or going to the draft or whatever, like who were like in their last year, like they don't need to sign up for classes this semester because I mean, after yesterday, he's prepping for the NFL now, after a 12-year college career. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, I mean, like that's what
it was only six.
It feels like 12. And that's what kind of, that's just kind of like just again, from a broader school, that's what kind of sucks about just like college sports now. Cause I remember like, when we were in school, like you'd walk around campus and see, oh, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so. Like, you had classes with these guys, and it just kind of felt like, I think that's what made you connect with the team so much. Or, you know, like, you know, watching these games now, like, after you're like, oh, these guys are doing the same thing, you know, we were doing in, you know, in school, like, going to the same lecture halls, all that kind of stuff. And now it's like, these guys are just going on. I remember, like, in the national championship for basketball last year, they asked Walter Clayton. He's like, oh, all my classes are online. I didn't even go to campus outside of the basketball facility. So it's like, they're obviously good for them. Like it makes it easier, especially like when you got these long road trips now where they're gone 4 or 5 days, like makes it easier for class, but it's just, it does take away some of the purity of college sports.
Yep.
They're 1099 individual contractors at this point, in my opinion. And I know, shout out to Golden Black and we can shift to that. They talked about the portal window closing. Monday was the big day for them to register for classes, and Tom was talking about that. I'm like, does it really matter, Tom, that these guys I mean, does it really matter that they're right in class? And I still think this portal is and coaching cycle is still messed up. I think the portal window needs to be at the end of the actual academic calendar and in the summer.
I agree. Or like in April, like, so it's like when they leave, like classes are about done, like then you can enroll in your new school.
What do you do about spring ball then, though?
If you don't want to participate, you don't participate. You can go train on your own. You're already making money. You already have agents. So you're already, you know, clicked in with some of these areas. So if you want to leave campus at the end of first semester and take a semester off and go train, you can do that and put your name in the portal and re-enroll in the fall wherever you're going. And if your coach, that then allows your coaching cycle to stop and we don't have a Lane Kiffin situation in Ole Miss anymore. So there's a lot of positives to that. You know, even guys that feel like they can get the eye look, hey, am I going to be able to compete for a spot? I can go through spring ball and then if not, enter the portal and go somewhere else in the summer and re-enroll. I think that alleviates a lot of issues, and you have a portal window for all sports pretty much in the fall, in the summer, besides baseball and softball because it takes so long. But Tom's little thing about, you know, the kids are rolling on Monday. I just like, really, that's maybe here, but not anywhere else what we've seen.
Well, that was a good half an hour discussion there on the round table. So
we can finish it up with football real quick. 28 players signed for a transfer portal window.
Looks good on paper. We'll see. I mean, we kind of covered it last week. They made another addition with a couple edge rushers, but we'll see.
Can still pick up guys in the summer.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, just because the portal window closes, I mean, you can't pick up guys if they're in. There's had to be in the portal by then. So I'm sure we'll see some guys kind of trickle in here and there.
Yep.
Obviously, two teams who play the championship, they have a new window since they were playing. So.
And we saw a little Mendoza. I was notified. Jumped in the portal. So
good for him.
Yeah, which wasn't a surprise after the TCU kid going there.
Yeah, so. He served his purpose, got his brother there.
Yep. So one thing I wanted to do this week, we haven't done it in a couple weeks. I got a trivia question and blind ranking for you guys. All related to tonight's basketball game against UCLA. You might have seen the trivia question, but I'm going to throw it out there anyways. What is Purdue's record all time in Pauley Pavilion?
Ooh, I did not see this.
No, I have no clue.
Can we ask how many games have been played, or is that too much of a...
Sure, four.
Four. Okay. My guess was six. Pauley Pavilion.
0-4.
I'm going to go 1-3.
1-3. Aaron is right. 0-4.
Cool. 0-4.
In my blind rankings, when you think of UCLA... Who's the first player that comes to your mind?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Who'd you say, Aaron?
Lou Alcindor.
Okay. No, same guy. I thought maybe one of you would say Bill Walton, but it was all going to be the same thing. You think of big guys, right? Centers.
Yeah.
I got five centers here in Purdue history during our lifetime, during our fandom. I want you to rank them 1 through 5 on you can rank them on who you think had the best career or what center you would want right now on the team. I don't care how you do it.
So. I hope Patrick Beatty's on this list.
He is not. starting with Matt Harms.
Oh, man. A guy whose reputation definitely took a hit once he transferred. Granted, he did graduate, didn't he?
He did graduate, yeah.
So it's like he has
that. He wanted to shoot more threes. That's what he wanted to do,
and
it didn't work out for him. And think if he stayed, Edie's progression.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's that whole, you know, Brian, you were decanted over the summer, like just the butterfly effect of like, incoming was this big kid that we thought was going to redshirt. We'll see how he does, and he has to be thrown into the fire. He turned out to be all right. I'm going to put him at 3. I liked Harms. Obviously, like he was raw when he came in. He was a different, it was a change up from what we had with Isaac Haas and even AJ Hammonds before that, of like just the bigger guys. He was much more mobile and, you know, was huge on the block shots and Yeah, so obviously he was well with that Elite Eight run. Put him up three just to cop out.
I'm going to put him at five because the last memory is the 2020 season with no Joel Eastern and that band of guys. That was bad.
Yeah, that was not going to be a tourney team unless they got hot in the Big Ten tournament. So, all right, next up, Juwan Johnson.
Numero uno.
Had a feeling you were going there.
We had not seen anything like this in a long time. I mean,
I'm regretting not wrong. Arms at three. I'm really regretting putting arms at three.
given where the state of the program was and how
he was the first Big Ten player here Purdue had had since Big Dog. He was.
Oh man. And also, it's playing this game of who else you have on this list. Do you have the obvious ones? Do you have the not obvious ones?
I have a feeling like Travis Carroll is going to be on this list.
That's what I'm saving five for. I'll put him at two just as like a just in case. But yeah, he was incredible. We hadn't had a play like that in forever, or really in a long time, ever, really, in terms of just like athletic.
I still wish we had, like, Painter still recruited this profile. I know he was supposed to be – he played center, but, like, we don't have a center that stepped out and shot Jays like him. And we haven't seen that since him. I mean, Hammond's did a little bit, but he wasn't as fluid as Juwan, and he could beat guys even off the dribble and have the ball outside the key.
His first round NBA pick. I mean
– yeah, it was, like, it was before, like, that – trend happened too. He was kind of like, right. From what I remember, like there weren't a lot of big guys doing that, especially in the Big Ten.
His development year after year was incredible. I mean, he was a backup to Nemanja Chalice in his freshman year.
Yeah.
Averaged 5 points per game. He could tell the potential was there. And like Aaron alluded to, his jump shot got better and better every year. To like his senior, I felt great about him shooting threes. Yeah. Junior year, I was still a little, senior, I'm like, go for it. Besides Etuan, you're the second guy I want shooting threes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I want a DJ Bird shooting threes over him. Sorry.
As a freshman?
Yeah, I still did. I mean, he was brought in to be.
Yeah. Oscar Clough.
Man, I screwed up so badly. Dennis was rusty.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to put him three. I think it's still be determined. I think I talked to Tanner about this. I think he's been great, but I think that for Trey, it's been a hard adjustment going back to being a four and being offensive and being outside the key and having those ugly push shots that you and I were texting back to him. He hasn't done anything the last five games when we were talking about the SC game. I think he's great, and he's definitely exactly what this team needs. It sucks that we can't get another year of him.
Yeah. Just because the year isn't over yet and we haven't seen a full year, I'm going to put him at five just because of not a finished product yet. He's been exactly what this team needed. He had some grown ass man rebounds, like against USC against some of these other games. He's been a breath of fresh air.
So Evan still has one and
four.
Four, and Aaron has
two and four.
Two and four. AJ Hammonds.
I knew he was going to be on here.
Most skilled player Matt Painter said he's ever coached.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
It's like you don't want to play him in a game of horse. just because I can't put him above, you're gonna pull somebody out for this last one. I'm gonna regret it, but I'll put him at four just because I can't put him above JJ.
Okay,
I'm gonna put him two because there was raw untapped potential, and that still I felt it never been reached with him. I remember the IU game when he was a freshman.
He put up 30.
Put up
30.
Put one up for 30, and actually that fast break dunk, that transition dunk that he had, and just
cut the lead to 37.
It didn't matter. Wilshie, he was being a prized possession that game. I wish he would have done more. He had all the tools to do it. I just don't know if Painter or Brandon could even push the buttons more than what they did with him.
Yeah, he obviously had the unfortunate experience of the for his first 2 years were just awful, awful basketball. You know, you wonder, like, in today's age, would he have transferred at that point? Like, you know, I ask about that about a lot of guys that we watched. But he was obviously, like, I remember like a game against Michigan State his senior year. He was awesome. But obviously, you know, part of his legacy is never winning a tournament game. Went 0 for 2.
And lastly, Nope.
I knew it.
Sandy. Sandy Martus.
4. Yes.
Number one, baby. Number one.
Choo-choo Martus for Webby. And he had that, like, what, 5-game stretch where it looked like an All-American.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he went to DePaul.
Re-rank. He's 5. Clough's 4. I'd keep Matt at 3. AJ 2, JJ 1.
Want to change a thing about mine. 2020 still lives with a bad taste in my mouth. Run a 4-on-5 offense. That team was bad.
Oh, you got to put Matt Harms in front of Martus just for the tipping at Indiana.
No, because I like Choo Choo.
For a final score of like 49-48.
Yeah, Carson went like 5 for 860.
I think he was like 5 for 20 that game. Like,
people,
it was something.
People forget he was cold.
His February was awful that
even
year.
Late January wasn't good. And then March was the heater of all heaters. So.
Yeah. Well, even tournament. Big Ten tournament, we sucked. And it was just
that Minnesota game. I remember I threw something across my living room that game. I think it was a dog.
We were not feeling good going into that tournament.
No. So, yep, I thought it's been a little while since we've done those. So yeah. I'll pull one out. But the Boilers took care of business last week, two tight games, 79-72 win over Iowa at home on Wednesday, followed up with a nail biter at USC in which they won 69-64. Webby, I know you were in the house of Mackey against Iowa, but I know there were some nerves. I know Aaron, you texted when we were down 9. This is getting about to danger territory, and I wasn't panicking yet because I'm like, there's a lot of game, and I would have in years past, but I'm like, Trey, Fletcher, and Braden.
Yeah, that was I was feeling the nerves a little bit, but at the end, like, I still had a sense of calmness just being in the arena. I was just like, they got this. Like, I obviously, like, you know, games like Ohio State last year is one thing, but it just felt like we've just seen these guys do so much before where it's like if Iowa was going to win, they were going to have to take it. Like, they were going to have to hit some stupid stuff. Like,
which they were hitting some stupid
and
stuff.
They were. Yeah.
I was going to say, Combs had a career night.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, and they had like two guys that had combined for 11 threes all year and they hit 7. Yeah.
It's always a lefty against us.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. But I mean, Mackey was awesome that night. Like, good to have the paint crew back for the first game. Iowa was going to be a tough out. I feel like I think they got
the right coach. Tough road trip on February
14th. Tough road trip, especially after this game, that game. They're going to want payback. But Braden. I mean, what more can you say? Braden Smith did what Braden Smith does. He just took over that game. I mean, what, we missed one shot in the last 10 minutes of that game, which is just ridiculous. Absurd. And just closed it out. It was great. You know, it was obviously, as Painter said, they outplayed us for 30 minutes. So it's just nice to be able to, you don't want to make a habit of it, but it's nice to be able to have a team that can not play their best. And we saw it against USC as well and still find a way to get the win.
In the USC game, I'm going to sit back and hear you guys talk about it. I watched a whopping 3 minutes of it because my pro football team was in a pretty big important dogfight that day. So.
Yeah. That one, it was from the jump. I mean, it wasn't great. USC
looked like a Cracker Jack arena Cracker Jack Box Arena.
Purdue had the crowd advantage for that, as they kind of did last year with their West Coast trip, and I expect it kind of to be the same thing tonight. USC came out, kind of punched them in the mouth. They were getting turnovers. Purdue couldn't hit anything. And then Purdue went on their own little run, took the lead.
Yeah, I was score checking on my phone. And at one time, I'm like, oh, now 22-8.
Yeah.
Solid. But then it was like the next time I looked, Purdue was right there back in it. So
they kind of did what they did. Obviously, the big storyline was Braden hit someone, ran into him, wasn't a foul because it was Carsonson. Go figure. Kind of collided.
Tonight, but he probably is, isn't he?
Probably collided knees with him. And you definitely tell Braden was affected by it by the rest of the game. But you know, they kind of was a just a gritty win. Kind of back and forth in the second half, and finally, you know, Purdue was able to make the shots that they did, got the stops when they needed it. Had some good fortune of being up three and down the stretch, and USC missing two free throws on a foul shot. So it's one of those things where you just take it where you can get it and you move on.
Yep. Stack wins.
My opinion, best one of the season. And given the fact that Fletcher got in the foul trouble, Clough got in the foul trouble.
Yeah, Fletcher was in foul trouble like 90 seconds in. That was, oh boy, that set me off. Clough had some very ticky-tack stuff happen to him.
Yep.
I was shocked they didn't call a fifth on him late in the game because he was setting some good screens, legal screens, but some of them just looked a little awkward sometimes. But yeah, it was go ahead.
I was going to say the reason you put Jacobson in there a lot of minutes. They had to switch small to go TKR the five. But the main issue was the athleticism of USC was actually making Braden pick up his dribble as soon as he got a half court double teaming. It took until the second half when Benter got in to actually start rotating, finding guys and finding passes because they were shutting down the lane. He was picking his dribble up. The guy was able to get back and get on his man right out of that double team. And it definitely affected the flow of the offense. And you could definitely tell – I'll say that game was the Jack Benter game for 100%.
Oh, 100%. Sure. He had like four or five possessions in a row where he
– Jumping Jack Flash.
Yeah, he hit a three. He took a charge.
He's good,
got
man.
A steal. He had this – it was like he had four plays in a row where it was just like it was a
total game changer.
He was the turning point of the game.
I saw Newbert was gushing about Jakari's defensive performance.
Jakari played well. Him and CJ hit timely shots kind of – I mean, CJ did not have a good shooting game.
Nope.
But it was just, again, kind of like timely shots by certain guys. Braden got a clutch steal at the end, got the layup, and smacked
– I did see that. I saw a highlight of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know how that's not a foul, especially
to an
All-American that always get calls.
Yeah, because that whole thing that happened with that was
– Musselman's a baby.
That put us up three – and you can watch the video and you can see Painter was trying to call a timeout when that happened. And the ball got inbounded and Braden's laying there on the ground and they awarded Purdue the timeout and Musselman goes off because obviously they had numbers.
Right.
The advantage. And like, he even like said something about it in the press conference. And it's like,
let's
start with the fact, like, why was Braden on the ground? Like, let's start with that. It's because your guy just straight up smacked him in the face and nothing got called, which baffles me because it wasn't like it was like a crowded lane. Like, it was literally one-on-one fast break.
Yep. And that's why I think that was the most impressive game because you had to overcome a lot of adversity in that game. You had to come back, battle down. When you had home fame, I felt like there's more Purdue fans in that crowd than USC fans.
Yeah.
So, like, USC definitely wanted to take it to him in regards to Musselman drew up things, and it definitely helped. But to overcome that environment, traveling out west on this two-game West Coast road trip, 100% better than Bama win, because this is the game you're going to look back at in turning time and say, like, we had the grit and determination, Braden injured, foul trouble with the other guys. TKR not outside of being open that one pass that Benner threw straight to him. Like, didn't have a great game either. So
Mitch Melton here on Facebook said the USC game was good, but I was more impressed with the Iowa game. That's a game we lose in past years. Iowa's first half percentages were lights out. Good to get that win considering that would have been a loss historically.
Been a loss
Yeah, both of those games are, you know, if you win the Big Ten, those are what you point to. Like, yep. Those were huge, especially the USC game against one of those things where, you know, Purdue was favored a good amount. And, you know, it's the travel's one thing. And, you know, I mean, that's a game you should have won. And thankfully they were able to do that because that'll trip up a couple teams this year.
Yep. Yep. And then this week's slate, of course, tonight, like I said, Pauley Pavilion at UCLA, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Boilers are 5.5-point favorites. Then return home Saturday to play Illinois, who's ranked 11th at 3 o'clock on Fox. But Illinois had a big injury come out, their guard Boswell, senior, broke his hand, hurt his hand.
I think it was a fracture in his hand, yeah.
Out at least a month. It's like, what do they do during practice? Because they have more practice injuries than any big team I can recall. So yeah. That's a big loss for him because he's known to shut people's water off, as our Illinois friend likes to say. So
yeah, he shut Sturts down when they played not too long ago.
Yeah. So, but how are we feeling about tonight's game? Score prediction, MVP, bold prediction.
Obviously, yeah, the big question is, you know, Braden's list is questionable. It's not like he practiced, so you assume he's going to play. You wonder, you know, where he's at. USC or UCLA is a team that is talented. They came into the year, you know, it was like one of the probably four teams that were people talked about in terms of like winning the Big Ten potentially. And they just have been very underwhelming. They had the big signing Donovan Dent over the offseason. He just hasn't really produced to what he's probably getting paid for. I think Purdue pulls it out, especially after Saturday. I'm going to go 76-64. MVP, just because he had a bad game, I'm going to go Fletcher, because I think he never got into a rhythm. Last game is because of the foul trouble and just kind of getting pulled out and getting more fouls. I'm going to say he hits 5 threes today.
I like it. Tonight. I like it. I think Purdue gets a win, hard-fought road win tonight, 77-70. Going with Trey Kaufman-Wren. It's my player of the game, and I think Trey goes for 15-15 tonight.
Nice.
Okay. I watched UCLA play against Ohio State instead of watching Indiana, Iowa this weekend. UCLA without Sky Clark is not the same team anymore. Yeah. I mean, you take 11 points out, and he was the highest three-point percentage shooter they had. They rely on Bilodeau, who's their stretch four, which I think is going to be a lot. I think pulling TKR out the side of the paint tonight on defense is going to be interesting to see if he can move his feet against a perimeter player that has good footwork and spot up and shoot. Mm-hmm. Bilodeau had 30 against Ohio State, but that UCLA team did not look good at all. They tried to make it a game, Cronin and company, against Ohio State, but it wasn't close. I think Purdue wins easily tonight, 86-60. I think they get the first one in Pauley Pavilion. I think Fletcher is the player of the game. I think he scores more than 20, then increases our thing to, I think it's, would it be 15 games or 16 games when he scores more than 20 that we win? And I think,
nope, I don't.
I think the stat of the night, I think Jacobson has 5 blocks.
Okay. Oh, okay. I like it.
Sign me up.
This was a game last year that Purdue desperately needed because they were on that little bit of a skid, and UCLA came to town, and Purdue was able to. At first half, it was one of those things where, where the first halves were not good, and they were able to pull it out in the second half. I remember I was at that game, thanks to Tanner. Yep.
a lot of big ones coming up. Some return home trip to Illinois, go down to Bloomington next Tuesday. That place gonna be rocking because we're their Super Bowl anymore when we come into town. They'll be first home game after returning with the national championship for football, so they'll bring that out. We just happened to be that game. But that's fine. We've seen Bob Knight return there, kick their ass. That doesn't worry me.
Great team. That was a team that wasn't going to make the tournament, neither.
Exactly. That was
last game of that game was Evan Boudreaux dunking with an empty upper arena.
Yep. So, you know, I'm Purdue's going to get everybody's best shot. We've talked about that. I mean, they're preseason ranked number one. They've only lost one game to date. So bring it on. It's where we get in the fun part of the schedule, really. This is where, you know, football's starting to wrap up. College football's wrapped up. NFL's about to wrap up. College basketball kind of becomes the focus now. So fun time of year.
I will give this token to both of you on your score prediction. Purdue hasn't played a game where the deciding factor is 6 points or less this season.
Wow.
Well, Saturday was 69-64. USC was.
Oh, it was. Never mind. Sorry.
That's the only one, though.
Yeah,
that's
the only one.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Sorry. My memory's shot.
Mitch Melton got a question for us. Which game's tough for us? Nebraska away or Michigan out?
Nebraska. That place is already electric. Mm-hmm. Definitely probably one of the underrated venues of the Big Ten because, like, there's nothing else to do in Nebraska. So people, and they credit to the fans, they show up no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's a potential just buzzsaw game where if they're hitting, they could roll.
They've rolled us there before. Yeah. So, I mean,
So, yeah. I just because it's on the road, and just their team is pretty awesome this year. Yeah.
And that's before the Iowa game at Iowa. That's a tough week. And Nebraska at Iowa in the same week.
Imagine saying that. October. Like, your stretch of at Nebraska at Iowa might be your toughest stretch.
Yeah.
I'd be static if we come out 1-1 that week.
I'd take 1-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not gonna roll through the Big Ten undefeated.
No.
It's too hard to do.
So. No. But we're winning tonight. Guaranteed.
No, I feel good. I feel good about tonight. I still hate these late tips, but that's why I'm drinking some caffeine right now to keep me up. So I'm an old man. Why don't we pay some bills real quick? And Aaron, if you wouldn't mind, I don't have the read brought up for Mad Mushroom.
Sure. Bullet Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mushroom is located in the heart of West Lafayette. It's known for the home of the original cheese stick, but whenever any of us, the Boy Breakdown crew, are in town, we want to sit down, have an ice cold beer, and try out the latest pizza of the month, which is Sweet Heat Barbecue Meats. A light layer of barbecue sauce topped with pepperoni, sausage, ham, bacon, ground beef, banana peppers, and mozzarella cheese, finished with a barbecue drizzle. So next time you're in town, use the promo code, or online, and use the promo code BREAK526 for $5 off any order over $20. Good for anything there. Cheese sticks, fill up on those. Carb overload, can't go wrong.
I might have had that for my dinner time or two in college. Extra large cheese stick with a couple dipping sauces.
Think we all have. So next time you're in town, use that promo code, order online. Tell the Boy Breakdown sent you. Mad Mushroom, feed your head.
Yep, and once again, that's new promo code BREAK526. So just want to reiterate that. So, and Webby's got a great looking script shirt on. I got a feeling he got it from the shop.
I did.
It's not the new ones they just came out with, but it's the
still good looking
though. Still model, and now to re-up and get the new one. But yeah, glad to have the shop on for this year, another year. Starting out, and you know, they start out in garages. Now they've got three locations around Indy, one in Carmel, one in Broader, but one in downtown Indy. So if you ever find yourself in the 317s, stop on by. They've got great people. Maybe don't go like this weekend because they're going to be stocking up on a certain team's national championship shirt that you don't need to.
Have like 15 items out.
Yeah, they do, as they should, Yeah. But they just came out with a new script. Drop. You have the Purdue basketball script black hoodie. Looks awesome. They've got the shirt like I've got, but with the Purdue colored in with solid gold. Looks great. I still need to get that boiler script hoodie. If you're watching, Tanner's got their website pulled up. We have the Purdue basketball script alternate. Looks amazing. Something I need to get. But if you are going to shop online,
I like that one a lot. That one's cool.
Yeah, the Purdue Hail Purdue Pete hoodie. Yep. But if you're going to shop online, maybe you're going to buy your significant other a certain school's shirt. I probably will. I should do that. make sure you use the code breakdown for free shipping. That's if you go to the shopindy.com, promo code breakdown for free shipping.
Yeah, good for any Valentine's Day order.
Yeah.
Yep.
Plenty of good t-shirts, hats, youth t-shirts, drinkware. Yep. Oh, we got a second page here.
We have a second page.
Oh, more drinkware, some koozies, some flags, some stickers. Ooh, I like that sticker. Yep. You got about everything you want. So take advantage. Absolutely. All right, fellas. Any final thoughts? We wrap this edition of the Boiler Breakdown up.
Let's get two this week.
Yep, that's the only thing that matters. Saturday's going to be a big game. Who's calling that game on Saturday?
No idea. I know Robbie and Fanta are calling the Purdue IU game. I heard them talking about that during the Michigan IU game tonight.
Was it announced that Robbie was going to do CBS pregame? Mm-hmm. Did I miss that?
Yep, apparently.
He's doing everything. Good for him.
Somewhat Purdue adjacent, Kent State is up 4 on newly ranked Miami, Ohio, up 4 with 3:20 to go.
Wow. Hold on, Golden Flashes.
They'll pull it out. That game on Saturday, they pulled out. They're the only one of three undefeated teams, correct? It's Nebraska, mm-hmm. Arizona, them.
Yep.
All righty, boys. Well, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Bruins, and beat the Fighting Illini.
Boiler up.